so that in the next 10 minutes, thank you. So do we have the screen? No screen. Okay, well, I'll try and sort of create pictures in your minds rather than you being able to see some of the slides. But let's just pray, shall we, as we think of this wonderful message of Christmas. Father, we thank you and praise you so much that you have brought us here, that you have gathered us to hear about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And Father, I pray that in my weakness and in our weakness, that you might, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to see and to understand that light which has come into the darkness, that light which is greater than the darkness, that we might trust in the light of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Oh, it's doing something. I'd hoped that it was lowering, but no, it's completely gone. Well, I love Christmas lights, don't you? And, is it working now, or is it just being a massive distraction? It is working. Well, in a minute we might have a few pictures of some Christmas lights. But imagine the exuberant, slightly over-the-top Christmas lights. They're wonderful, aren't they? We see some of them around here, down at 8 Ash Green, throughout Colchester. Oh, I love them. There's a great exuberance to them. But maybe for some of us that's not our thing. We prefer the sort of classy kind of lights. You know those ones that you find in German marketplaces over in Germany? Just pure white light. They give a sort of feeling of winter crispness and Christmassiness, if there is such a word. I'm thinking of all kinds of words about what's going on with this screen, but I daren't mention them. That would completely ruin the Christmas atmosphere. And some are clearly competitive about their Christmas lights. I don't know if you've seen some, there seems to be some kind of neighbourly arms race going on. And the lights just get bigger and better every year. You think, well, where else can you put them? On the roof, on the chimney, the driveway? Fantastic. And others have just completely given up the competition. Now, I don't know whether we're going to have our pictures, but just leave it there. If we don't have pictures, let's just leave it there. See, the light is associated in our minds with life and knowledge and goodness. It's reflected in the language that we use, isn't it? When something is brought to light, it's discovered, it's known. A dark secret is one that is particularly bad. Depression is a dark time. Dark humour tries to lighten and laugh at the tragedy of life. In our minds, in our stories, darkness and death and evil go together. Whether it's the stories that we read about, or the popular imagination of Star Wars with the dark side, or the Fellowship of the Ring with the Dark Lord Sauron, death, evil, and darkness go together. Life, goodness, and light go together. Now, I'm sure there's so much that we are looking forward to enjoying over the Christmas period. Isn't it wonderful to have the candles and the lights? But I don't know what your experience of darkness is. Often it begins, doesn't it, with that imagination that runs riot in our childhood. There we are, lying in the bed. And what's under the bed? And what's in the room? And thankfully, we grow up and realize that this imagination is unreal. But it's displaced often, isn't it, by the reality of darkness in our world. The darkness of what people can do to other human beings. The darkness of natural disasters that, unfortunately, we've witnessed of late. The darkness of the human heart. And this is in a lot of our literature, is it not? Joseph Conrad in Heart of Darkness puts it this way, about the apathy that darkness can bring into our lives. The futility, he says, even extreme grief may ultimately vent itself in violence, but more generally, it takes the form of apathy. Oh, here we go. Oh, great. Brilliant. Can we just go through them? Now that we've actually got it, it would be good to go through them. So we start at the beginning. So there's the exuberant Christmas lights. Well, on to the next one. There's the sort of lovely Christmassy lights. And then there's the competitive spirit in Christmas lights. Obviously wanted to be picked. And here's the person who's just given up on the competition. There is actually a house to the right, and they've just got ditto in lights. And then on to the next one, there's some of the things that we enjoy watching at Christmas, maybe. And darkness. Yes, our experience of darkness. It can lead to a loss of hope. See, what is the point of hoping for a good life when darkness seems to have the last word? Which is why what John the Apostle writes in his prologue, the beginning of his gospel, is just such good news. It brings such hope, whatever our knowledge and experience of darkness is. You see, he claims to know the one who is light, to have met him. We know that he wrote this gospel, the Apostle John. We know that he wrote the prologue because he claims to have been there witnessing Jesus' life, there at the crucifixion, there at the resurrection of Jesus. It's only that John who was there at the cross. All the rest of the men had fled. Just that John. And so this is written by an eyewitness of Jesus and what Jesus said. And this is what he says about Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it or understood it. The Greek word can mean both master, it can be both overcome and understand. It's better translated mastered. There is still light in this dark world. And it came through a man who John claimed to be the light. And why is this so full of hope, this light? Not like a candle that can just be extinguished. Well, because he claims that this light is the Word, the Creator, who was there at the beginning. This light is God, the one and only, God, the only begotten Son, the Creator, who cannot be defeated. And he's come into this world as the light, as the life, and nothing can master or understand this one. Which is great news for those of us who may be in a dark place at the moment. Can be the case, can it not, at Christmas? We find it difficult to enter into the Christmas atmosphere. Maybe you're just beginning to realize how little you know. Maybe you're overwhelmed with the sheer amount of human suffering in the world. It just gets to you. Can do, can't it? Maybe the way people have treated you has rocked your faith in people, in life, in light. Maybe you're depressed for more than biochemical reasons. Here is a light that is not overcome by the darkness, by evil, or by death. And John claims to have seen this light. We have seen his glory, this light radiating out from this person, the glory of the one and only, the begotten Son, who came from the Father, full of grace, full of kindness, unbelievable kindness and truth. See, clearly this writer, John, Jesus' closest friend, met Jesus, and he says the law came through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. And he wants other people to know this light, to be rescued from darkness, to enjoy a new quality of light in this life and in the next. And so he says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He's saying that it is possible to receive this light personally, to believe, that means to trust in his name, the name of Jesus Christ, the King, God, the Son, and to enter God's family. So whatever we might think at Christmas time, however skeptical we may be, affected by the scientism of our age or the postmodernism which tries to undermine the relevance of this light that came into the world, John is saying, don't write him off. This light is deeply significant if you think that there is darkness in this world. See, seeing this light can change the darkness we experience into light, the evil we find in ourselves and in others to goodness, death into life. This light cannot be overcome. Which is great news. For anybody and everybody. That's why Jesus is the light of the world. Now, you may remember the incident in Thailand in July of this year when 12 boys were lost in a system of caverns. I mean, they weren't just wandering around. I mean, see where they got to, 2.5 miles inside the cave. And they were lost in a system of caverns and trapped as water levels rose. And the world looked on. We all looked on, didn't we, as a rescue operation was initiated. I don't know if you've ever been caving or been down a pit like the Great Pit in Wales. You cannot see your hand in front of you. It is totally dark, obviously. And it seems that the rescue was touch and go. Experienced divers were not that positive. You can see from the map of the cave system that this was not going to be an easy task. They thought about drilling and various other things, pumping out the water, but know that the best option was sending in some divers. And just imagine that you were one of those boys in the dark, not knowing whether there was any plan, whether anybody even knew that you were there. And then there was a dim light came through the cave. And the divers, I think they were UK divers, I'm not sure, but they brought food and warmth and light into a desperate situation. All of a sudden, they realized the outside world knew their plight. There was a plan to rescue them. Hope was rekindled. And they also knew this was their only hope. I got this from the BBC website, so I presume it's reliable. And what they did was that the divers would have explained to the boys how they needed to be strapped to the diver. And then the diver would swim back, rescuing the boy. They had to trust the diver for rescue. Every single boy trusted in the diver that to whom they were attached, and they were taken out and rescued. And I hope this illustration helps, because it's a bit like the rescue plan that God has for us. It is a one-to-one kind of rescue plan. It's not just general for everybody. God explains to us how we can be rescued from darkness, and it's personal. Each and every one of us needs to respond, to trust in God's rescue. See, how do we come to know the light of God, the life of God? How do we enter the new family of God and find an answer to the darkness that we all experience in our lives? Well, John, the apostle, says it's by trust in the name of God's Son, trust in Jesus Christ, which just simply means to say, well, you're the one who can rescue me, Son of God. I'm in the darkness and I can't do it myself. Would you lead me out? And the wonderful news that we all received was that there was lots of divers, weren't there, who rescued the boys, and we'll see a picture of the boys in a minute, and they all trusted in the divers and they all were rescued. But you see, in God's rescue from darkness, there is only one who leaves from the outside of this world and its darkness and comes into this world as the light, as the Son of God, who left the Father and comes in to rescue us. There's only one who is God, who has the power and the wisdom to rescue people like you and me from the darkness of this world. And in the rescue of the boys, tragically, I'm sure you heard this, one of the divers did unfortunately die, a retired diver who lent a hand. But that was not intentional, was it? No, that was tragic. But in the rescue mission of Jesus Christ, he had to die. That was how he was going to pay the price. So he died in the darkness that lasted 3 hours, that wasn't an eclipse because they last 7 minutes. This was a supernatural darkness that God the Son endured for our rebellion so that we can be rescued out of the darkness. He was treated as if he loved the darkness, as if he wanted to do those things. He was treated as somebody who'd sinned, in other words, like you and me, so that we can be treated as if we've never loved the darkness and be rescued into God's light. And just as each of the boys had to trust in their rescuer, so individually, we too need to. That's the message of John's gospel. Do read it. And so a question for all of us to consider this evening: have we trusted in this rescuer yet? See, the true light of Christmas is the light that came into the world, yes, that was born, but the light that grew up and never did anything wrong. And the light that was willing to go to the cross, to die in our place, so that people like you and me can be given hope in the darkness, have our sins forgiven, be given a new life, be welcomed into the family of God, and have a glorious future, yes, even in this dark world. So can I encourage you this Christmas, not only to have a happy Christmas and a joyful Christmas and a Christmas full of great food, which is wonderful, isn't it? I'm looking forward to some turkey and some Christmas pudding and perhaps a G&T. There's lots of things to look forward to. The lights of Christmas, the candles, they're beautiful. There's so much to enjoy. But I pray that your Christmas might be filled with the light of this man, the light of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is light in our darkness if we have eyes to see. He cannot be overcome by the darkness, because his death was not the end, but the beginning of a new world, a new family, so that all who trust in him, having seen who he is, might belong to his family and know that they're not destined for the darkness, but for the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We pray, Lord, that you would work in all our hearts so that we can see and trust in the light of your Son this Christmas time, and in doing so may be given hope in the face of whatever darkness we experience, which we know truly we cannot overcome but by him. Amen. Thank you.